One thing I can definitely say about this trip was that it was so much fun, I would have felt guilty for having this much fun if I wasn't sure that the Lord had called me there. But I was certain. I said, I know that this is where the Lord called me to, but this is just, it was just a lot of fun. It was a great trip, and hopefully this presentation will aid you in sharing in the joy that I experienced on the trip, and it will, and you can share in my heart to change lives around the world. Now you already know how I was called and followed the Lord's instructions on the preliminary stages about the application and then waiting on the Lord to receive some support. And so I went through those stages, and by the time I got to Orlando, I felt very secure about the support I had up here. So when I got there to Orlando, we went through training in Orlando, and then we went to Belize, and we went through training in Belize, and then we went through training with Belizean youth, and we went through training with Belizeans our own age, and we went through training with Belizeans that were adults. So just to adapt us fully. So we went through a lot of training, and our team was very eager to really run some camps when we got there. I guess I never really let you know what was going on before I left. We were running a camp where the youth from southern Belize would be picked up on a bus and brought to this camp, and we would try to spiritually nurture them for a week. They say that in Belize, the Christianity is a lot like the soil, typically, that it's very fruitful, but it's only an inch deep. That there's a lot of Christians there, a lot of mission efforts were made in Belize, but the missionaries would tend to stay there and evangelize the people, and then they'd leave. And so they didn't have much to grow on. So the intention of the camp at Machaca, though I was only there for a few weeks, the camp has been there for 15 years, and it focuses on raising up Belizean youth in fundamentals in Christianity and in the Bible. So as I was saying, preparation was a big part of this camp and for the Pioneers Mission Organization. Pioneers is the organization I went with. And we eagerly look forward to some work. I'm ready for the first slide. Now hopefully you'll be able to see these. Okay, if you can see that, I've entitled this slide, I Was a Stranger in a Strange Land. And I was probably the stranger of the two. I really enjoyed the, it was a totally foreign country to me, but whether it was my upbringing in subtropical Florida or my experience with... okay, super. Or whether I had experience with other cultures, or whether it was I like really spicy food, I really blended well with the Belizean culture and with the people and with the climate. And I thought to myself many times, I could really live here. It's kind of cheap. Anyway, so I really felt that it was just a terrific place, and I loved it. And for some reason, even not having air conditioning and 100 degrees didn't bother me. I don't know. It was just weird. And the team... Okay, next. This is our team. We were stuck on the side of the road, so we decided we'd have another photo op. They liked photos a lot. Our team was really great. It was very diverse. We had people from Connecticut. We had people from Washington, people from Chicago, people from Miami, people from San Diego, all over the country. They were very friendly, barring numerous mosquito bites they had on their legs, which gave a lot of people a lot of fits. Next. A lot of people had some more difficulty adjusting to the Belizean country. They put up mosquito nets. What Carrie's doing is she's putting up a mosquito net around her bed so that way she won't get eaten alive at night. And but I hear that the kids make fun of the counselors that do that, so I didn't do it. And for some reason, they didn't seem to like me anyway, so I kind of got away from the mosquitoes. Well, it depends on which campers were there. No, the mosquitoes they didn't give me much problems, so that was a blessing. Go ahead. One of the adjustments was the insect life. That is a tarantula, which Carrie is holding. And, it was dead, but I usually don't say that. And now you get to notice that Carrie is in a lot of these slides, and I want to clear this up before I get into any trouble. Phil Brown lent me a camera, which broke the day before I left. The automatic forward button was permanently depressed, so. So she sent me her pictures, which I turned into slides. So that's the reason for her frequency in all these pictures. But we were really good friends on the trip anyway. So there's numerous tarantulas. You'd probably see one a week. But scorpions were even more frequent. And scorpions you'd see every day. And kids know how to take the stinger off, and they play with them. And yes. Yeah, I did. They were really neat. They're a lot kind of tingly. But anyhow, so there's a lot of things to get used to just with different wildlife. Go ahead. Now, you might not be able to see this, but there's other cultural differences. This is how they, this is daycare in Belize. That's a bungee cord with a sheet and a baby just kind of laying in it, which they go to church and they just hang the baby up on the wall and the baby sleeps there. And their transportation for infants is the same. They just kind of roll them up in a sheet and carry them along. So there's a lot of other different things to get used to. And what they would tell us, they'd say, you know, Belizeans are going to do things differently, but it's not wrong, it's just different. And it might not be what you're used to, but people just do things differently in a third world country. Another thing that was neat, which kind of reminded me of biblical times, was market day. And Saturday and Wednesday were market day in Punta Gorda. And Punta Gorda was the big city that we ministered near. It was a city of a population of 5,000 approximately. Which leads me to say that the country of Belize's entire population is a little bit more than 250,000. So it's a small third world country. And market day was kind of neat. One of our training sessions was at Mafredi, and you probably won't be able to read this, but on the side of it says Mafredi Methodist School. And so the United Methodist Church does have an arm in Belize, and we work with the Methodist Church there, even though Pioneers is not a Methodist organization. But Mafredi was a neat time to just get to know how Belizeans act and interact with them and teach. So we did a day camp there. Go ahead. And then this is just, I wish you could see this, and you ought to see this picture, but it's we went on a trip, and as soon as the trucks parked, these kids came running out of a hut up a hill, and they sell baskets and bracelets and things to any gringo they can find. So anywhere you go, you'll be bombarded with one to buy basket. And, oh, gringo, that's just, white person, which really they don't use that in Belize. That's more of a Spanish term. But if they see a North American, then they're gonna try to sell you something. Because we're really, the richest people on earth, and the poorest person in the States is at least middle class in Belize. So this is just, it's just kind of a, just more pictures of just seeing how the Belizean culture is just different. And go on to the next one. We would teach crafts in the camps. We taught crafts. We taught Bible. We did sports. We did counseling. And we did a ropes course. And so this is just, you can see all these Belizean kids here with one of the girls on our team teaching. And she had to wear a dress. A lot of the girls were encouraged to wear dresses a lot of the time. Particularly at the in some of the areas where that was just what's really appropriate there in this country. Now my first week of camp, they put me on kitchen duty, which wasn't as bad as I thought. It was kind of fun eating pineapple with some of the girls on the team, and that was a lot of fun. Just time to kind of sing and do dishes and go ahead. But the next week came, and we had some older kids, and they put me on teaching Bible. Now that's Carrie with some of the campers, and there was really a lot of close bonds formed between the campers and the counselors, and we can write back and forth. It takes a long time to get there, but and in fact one of the kids, Kenny, I formed a relationship with, just talking with him and encouraging him, and he was kind of closed off from everyone else. But towards the end of the week, as he was about to leave, he came up and asked me to pray for him, that he's been struggling with smoking habit, and he's been struggling with just different things in his life, and he asked me to pray for him just for deliverance from those things. And so I was really glad to see that I was able to make an impact on his life during that week. Go ahead. When the 9 to 10-year-olds came, I was a counselor. And this is me and Carrie with my cabin. And we had a lot of fun that week. It was just crazy. Belizean kids, I've never seen kids that like to fight so much. And they enjoy it. They enjoy beating the daylights out of each other. Like, even the one that's being beaten. It's crazy. And so there were some things to get used to for me. And the kids would... There's one kid that was a little bit more overweight, and I kept calling him fat, and I was really upset about it. And I said, you know, you ought to try to think of some other, you know, attributes to refer to him by. And they looked at me very puzzled, and then the camp director said, it's not an insult to call someone fat in Belize, because it means that you have enough money to eat enough to be fat. So it's not very insulting in there. And I was pretty fat in Belize, so... They called me fat a few times, to which I guess I said thanks. But we had a great time with this cabin, and me and Sean, obviously Carrie wasn't in the cabin, but she watched us play soccer. Go ahead. Now, if you can see this is every week we would take the kids swimming, and we'd take them to San Antonio Falls and swim with them, and that was just a nice kind of break in the middle of the week. When the kids were really kind of getting to us, which would happen. Go ahead. And we had an annual thing called the Machaca, or a weekly thing called the Machaca Cup, which was a soccer tournament between all the campers. And then this is the winners of the Machaca Cup. And as you can see, these kids were predominantly black. And they had black people from Jamaica. They had... Grifnas, they had Hispanic people, they had people from Asia, they had Asian Indians, they had Mayan Indians, and they had Quechua Indians. So it was very pluralistic as far as the cultures go. And sometimes racial issues are things that we would have to deal with in Belize. Just with different cultures having different ways of living, and they were kind of brought together at camp. So that was one of the dynamics we had to deal with at camp. Go ahead. And after a week of taking care of the kids and teaching Bible and doing all this, we were usually pretty exhausted. And I thought this picture kind of expressed that. This is, we would go into the city, Punta Gorda, and some of the counselors just kind of fell asleep next to the Machaca office. Another thing we like to do was we like to have skits. And this is just a demonstration that kind of shows how silly a lot of our skits were, but a lot of times we tried to portray some kind of spiritual meaning. This one had zero spiritual meaning to it. It was just silly. And but nevertheless, we enjoyed it. All right, go ahead. And we would take some trips, and as I said, the kids that would come to sell us baskets, we decided to kind of hang out with them and to spend some time with them. So this is some of those girls braiding Carrie's hair, and you can see that their dresses are very similar. They're bright colored, and all the girls wear dresses everywhere they go, especially the Indians, the Quechua and the Mayan Indians there. Go ahead. And we visited some of the ancient Mayan ruins as well. This is the ancient ruins of Lubantun. And we visited some of the churches. This church's pastor was named Feliz, which means happy in Spanish, which I thought was neat. So we went to some services there, and they translated into English. They actually did it in Quechua, if they still speak. And then they translated in English for us. Okay. One of the days, you may not have heard this, but there was an earthquake in Central America during the summer. It was a 5.5 on the Richter scale, and the epicenter was in Honduras, I believe. And Honduras was actually only about 30 to 40 miles away from the camp. So the camp was really shook up quite a bit, as you can see. If you can see, everything's all turned over in the cabin. And it was during the middle of one of our chapel services, and everybody ran out. And the Lord seemed to use that for His glory. A lot of the campers thought, you know, this might be my last day. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know when you're going to have a chance to get serious about the Lord. And so they took that as kind of initiative to take their faith a step higher, which was, of course, greatly encouraged by us. I'll take this moment. I'll share another story. This is a cabin story. After Machaca Cup, we had this kid Rigo who we sponsored to go. He didn't have enough money to go, but we sponsored him, and he came, and he was just a riot all week long. And in his cabin, when we got back from the soccer game and everybody had taken their showers, Randy told his counselor that he didn't have his briefs. And so they had this big search for him, and they determined that someone had stolen them. So it was this big ordeal, and they were late to dinner, and you know, it was like, who thiefed a brief? Which is how they speak they speak an English dialect called Creole. And so who thiefed a brief? And no one would fess up to it. And finally, on the way to dinner, Rigo comes up to the camp director and said, "Mr. Steve, I know who thiefed the brief." And he says, "Well, who was it?" He says, "It was me, sir." And they call everyone sir. And he says, "Well, sir," I said, "Well, Rigo, where were you going to give him back?" He says, "No, sir, can't, sir." And he says, "Well, why can't you?" He says, "I'm wearing them, sir." So it was this big fiasco that we had a lot of fun with the rest of the camp, the who thiefed the brief. But if you're worried, Randy got his briefs back, and he was wearing them later on that evening. So so all was all worked out there. Okay. We would take some weekend trips, and as I said, to relax between camps, which actually would get stressful. And the Belizeans fared pretty well when they went fishing. This guy caught a nurse shark. But the Americans didn't do as well. That's Carrie with a tiny little fish that she caught. Good. But we all had fun eating it anyway. So. No, we threw the nurse shark back, but we did eat the barracuda we caught. Which, the barracuda was it almost took one of our counselor's fingers off when we fished by trolling, and he just wrapped it around his finger, and the barracuda caught it, and he almost yanked his finger off. It kind of hurt it a lot, but yeah. And this is one of my favorite campers. I had a lot of fun with him. His name is Melvin, and so that's a picture. Everyone liked him and got pictures made with him because he's a really cute kid. Hopefully you can see him. Maybe there'll be a picture of him out there. He's a cutie. And this one doesn't really see either. But these are just some of the counselors that I shared the summer with. And we held a women's night for the women because to kind of honor them. And it was a really fun time where we dressed up the lounge and I read silly international poetry and that I'd written. That was really pretty funny. And then after it was all said and done, I know, as if we needed any more trips, we went to one of the Keys in Belize and had a relaxing stay in Key Cocker. which this isn't Key Cocker, but this is one of the islands we snorkeled around. And McGray likes to refer to this slide as the Gilligan's Island slide, if you can make it out. Well, now that I've shared with you some of the joy and all the wonderful things that happened in this summer, well, I guess before I move on to the next thing, does anyone have questions they'd like to ask about the trip or anything? Yes, there was. They had a generator, and the electricity would go out from time to time, but there was lights, and we had to wash all of our clothes by hand, though, and then dry them on a line, which proved to be difficult since it rained every single night there. There were four nights, I believe, that it did not rain, and every other night was absolutely a torrential downpour. It was because it's the rainy season. But we did have a little bit of electricity. Yeah. Go ahead, please. Oh, beans and rice. Pretty much, that's what Belizeans eat. Beans and rice and chicken, if they're lucky. And but they'll have other things. I mean, that's their staple, but they'll also have some fried platanos, you know, the fried bananas. And they eat a lot of fruit that happens there, mango. And they just shove the mango in their face and just kind of grate it along their teeth. It's really funny to watch the kids eat it. And papaya and just different, the Mali apples that they have, which are a really interesting kind of fruit. So the diet was pretty, it wasn't exactly diverse, but it had a lot of fruit in it. Do you have a question, B? Well, for the most part, we could understand what they're saying. However, when I was trying to ask them what positions they wanted to play in soccer, I had a kid say, all rock. And I was like, just tell me what position you want to play, you know? And he said, all rock. And so one of the other campers that I could understand better said, he said he wants to rock. And I was like, well, I mean, what is he saying? I mean, I don't understand that. And finally the director laughed and says, he's trying to say he wants to play forward. So there's a lot of words that were different. But for the most part, we could understand them. The accent they're talking was a lot like this, and they talk real fast, and they have a real thick accent. It's kind of Jamaican. It's, I don't know. I have a lot of fun doing interpretations of... or doing impressions of them. Yeah, one of the times I was playing volleyball, and I went to go hit the ball, and the guy behind me goes, left it, and I hit it anyway, and I turn around, I hit it out of bounds, and I turn around, and he says, when I say left it, I mean leave it. So he did some interpretation for himself. And that was fun. Anything else? Yeah. I remember when I got back in the States the next day, I was like, where are all these cars coming from? You know, like, I mean, where are they all going? You know, I mean, because it's pretty rare that cars are just a lot less over there. Well, since I've shared in a lot of the experience of the trip, I thought I'd share my heart for changing lives around the world. And to be honest, it's not really my heart to change lives. It's God's heart that he's instilled in me as a yielded vessel for his glory. Because we come to the understanding that people around the world and in this own country are lost, and that they need Jesus. They worship false gods conjured up by men and just in their own mind, or men and women. In Isaiah 41, the passage I read, the Lord challenges the gods of the nations to demonstrate their power and for them to call on them. But he then denounces them, saying that they have no power, that these gods are worthless. People around the world and in our country, they need Jesus. And idol worship is rampant. And it comes in many forms. It's not just the worship of stone or of wood, or even the worship of any name other than Jesus. But idolatry can come in the form of sin. And it says so in the scriptures, that in Ephesians 5:5 it says, "For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." Or in Colossians 3:5 it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And so the Lord just has instilled in my heart since I've been walking with Him just to walk in wholehearted purity with Him and to remove any idols from our lives. Because idolatry is choosing anything or putting anything above God. And whenever we choose sin, we automatically put that above God because God says to be holy. So that's something that the Lord has just instilled in my heart to bring not only to the Belizeans the worship of Jesus and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, but to go even further and just to worship Him in a life of holiness. This trip has given me a lot of experience on mission trips and on team dynamics. And it will help me this spring break. I'm leading a group of students from Florida State to Daytona Beach, where we'll do some work, worship, and witnessing to not only the other spring breakers, but it's also bike week. So all the motorcycle gangs will be there. And that'll give us a large audience, then a diverse audience to share the Lord with. And as I said, true worship is found in holiness, for Scripture says, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And then Jesus mentions in John 4:23, He says, "A time will come when true worshipers will come, people who worship in spirit and in truth." And so this is the aspect of worship that gave me the title, Worship the Lord, which is what we're trying to bring to the Belizeans, the spirit of worshiping the Lord, and what I'll continue on for my life, a message of worshiping the Lord in holiness and in spirit and in truth.